morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are gathered in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 811. Rise. I invite you to follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our morning worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, Let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in our thoughts, words, and deeds, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us therefore confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in our thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus, he gives the power to become the sons of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verses 13 through 18. These verses come immediately after our sermon text and speak to some of the same topics of our sermon text. Paul writes, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 9. We'll read verses 9 through 13. Glory to you, O Lord. This is Jesus' calling of Matthew, the tax collector. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 611.
Thank you.
seated. We ask the children to come forward for their children's sermon.
Good morning. I'm going to show you a picture and some words that are from our sermon text for today. Jars of clay. So that picture is a big clay pot. In the Bible, we're called a number of different things. We are called sheep. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about us being sheep. We are called children of God. But did you know that we were also called jars of clay? Kind of a weird thing to be called, right? A clay pot. Did you know that you were a clay pot? No? Never heard that before? Well, this picture is interesting. It's supposed to illustrate what our sermon is about. This clay pot has some problems with it, doesn't it? What does it look like happened to this clay pot? It's cracked, isn't it? What's coming out of the clay pot, though? Do you know? It doesn't look like water. Do you know what that is? It's supposed to be light. There's something very bright and impressive and shiny inside that clay pot. So you're going to hear in the first part of our sermon text that we're called clay pots. But that's not the important thing. A clay pot is breakable. It's kind of, not really strong, not really all that pretty. But the Bible says we have something inside of us that is very important, very impressive, and extremely valuable. It actually describes it as a treasure. It describes it as the power of God. Can you think of what's inside you that is a treasure that is also the power of God? Your heart, okay, that's a great treasure. What did Jesus put inside that heart? Our soul, yep. What did he give us by his grace? Him, yes. He is the treasure that's inside of us. So if you see a cracked and leaky pot, you probably aren't going to be too impressed with it, are you? But if you knew that there was a very precious treasure inside of it, it would be important. So the point that our sermon text makes today is that we are like this cracked and leaky and broken pot, but inside of us is a great treasure, Jesus himself, and that great gospel message that he did some very important, very loving things for you. Do you remember what Jesus did for you, a few things he did for you, Reese? Died on the cross. What else did he do, Ian? Took away our sins. What did he do after he died? He rose again. You see that light coming out of the cracked pot? Doesn't that kind of remind you of the light of Jesus' resurrection? How he came forth that Easter morning, and we think of him being glorified and shining in heaven. Okay, so listen for some of those things as we read through our sermon text for this morning. You can go ahead and take one of our Sunday school lessons and go back to your seat. Thank you. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to your fellow jars of clay. The text for our meditation and application to our daily faith life is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We'll read this time verses 7 through 12. Paul writes that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. One of the words I want to focus on from our sermon text for this morning is a word that's found in verse 10, the word carrying.
And as I think about that word carrying, I want to ask you, what are you carrying around? Like physically carrying around? What do you carry in your pockets or what do you carry in your purse? I'm guessing that you probably have on your person something that's important or something very useful. I can't get at my pockets, so you have to take my word for it. But what I carry in my pockets today and most every day is cell phone. That's important. That's useful. Wallet, important and useful, usually. Keys, definitely important and useful. A pen. And on Sunday mornings, I usually have a couple of extra throat lozenges just so I don't get hoarse from all the services and Bible classes. Anything unusual or noteworthy that you carry in your pocket or in your purse? Anyone want to share? Anything unusual? You moms out there sometimes do carry some unusual things just to make sure that you're prepared for any disaster. One of the moms at our retreat last week said that she carries baby wipes. And a couple other people had some very unusual things that they carried around. They were probably falling in the category of something useful or something very, very important. I was eating with my dad last week, and he was very generously paying for my meal. And as he was pulling out his credit card, he looked at his wallet, and he smiled and showed it to me. And what he was carrying in his wallet still was, well, he showed to me a picture of me, my senior picture. And I kind of smiled because it was a long, long time ago. I had a lot more hair and looked a lot younger. But then he flipped through it just to make sure I didn't get too big of a head that all of my brothers and sisters were in there too, all their senior pictures. But it came to my littlest brother, and for some reason he had his fifth grade picture in there. I don't know what that was all about. But it did sort of show that he felt that his children were important and that he wanted to carry them around with him in his wallet as well. Sometimes the things that we carry around are not good things. And sometimes the things that we carry around with us aren't even physical things. Not something that you could touch or feel or put in your pocket or in your purse. Sometimes the things we carry around are very heavy things nonetheless. Burdens. Stress. Maybe a sickness or illness. Maybe pains. Maybe it's something even more serious and worse. Maybe we carry about with us our sin, our guilt, our shame. Well, what does the Apostle Paul say that we should be carrying in verse 10 of our text? He says we should always be carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Seems like a strange thing to carry around, and you might wonder, what in the world is Paul saying there? We carry about in our body the death of Jesus. Well, you can look to other passages in Scripture and see Paul especially say similar things. It refers to the suffering that we share in Christ, sharing in his sufferings. That if we are his followers, we should expect and not be surprised if we are suffering at times for his sake. Facing some trials or difficulties or opposition just for the sheer fact that we are his disciples, his believers, living by his word and sharing his message. Listen to Jesus' own words from John chapter 15. He said, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." There is good news attached to this thought, though, that we carry around the death of Jesus, because think about what the death of Jesus did for us. Paul reminds us that, yes, we do share in his suffering. Yes, we do share in his death, but that, in the end, brings us glory. Listen to these words from Romans 8, verse 17. He says, "If we are children, then we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." We have the glory of heaven waiting for us because of the death of Jesus. Verse 10, of course, of our text does not stop there. Paul doesn't just say we carry about in our body the death of Jesus. He goes on to say that we also carry the life of Jesus with us. He says we carry about the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Manifested means to show forth, to make known. The life of Christ, Paul says, should be made known in our bodies as well. Think about the glorious message of the life of Christ, especially his resurrection and what that does for us. The last verse I read was Romans 8:17. The very next verse, Paul tells us that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. So if we are suffering for Christ's sake, take heart. It's not even going to be worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in heaven. In Christ, we share not just in his suffering, not just in his death, but in his resurrection, in his life. Paul says a similar thing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Yes, share in his sufferings and his death, but also to know the power of Christ's resurrection. One pastor I know put it this way, and I thought it was a very comforting and very easily understood way to put into my mind and my heart what Paul is saying here. He said, put it this way, everything that happened to Jesus will happen to us. Everything that happened to Jesus will happen to us. I'd never thought of it that way before, but think about that. Jesus lived, we live. Jesus suffered, Jesus tells us clearly we will suffer for his sake during our lifetimes. And Jesus died. We too will die. But now the good news. Jesus rose. We too will rise. Jesus ascended in glory to heaven. We too will ascend in glory to heaven as well. That last verse I read reminded us that if we are children of God, then we are heirs. We will inherit the very things that Christ has won for us, his heavenly kingdom. That message of the things that Jesus won for us by his life, his perfect life for us, his innocent death on our behalf, and his resurrection, that message is that treasure that Paul speaks of that's within us, cracked and crumbling jars of clay. Listen again to verse 7 of our text. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Think of how foolish it would be if we walked around trying to point to ourselves as being the treasure. Cracked, dusty, fragile jars of clay. Clay pots. When inside of us is an incredible treasure. Who would marvel at the cracked, crusty pot when there is a giant diamond or gemstone inside the pot itself? We show the surpassing power of God and not our own glory or our own power when we show forth in our lives the gospel. And so Paul says we carry that out in our lives. We carry that about in our bodies, in our words, in our actions, in our very lives, the gospel. We share that resurrection, that death, that life, that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of you, many people that we know, probably do wear on their person, as they go about their days, the cross. Think of how popular cross jewelry is. You wear a cross, hopefully you're wearing it to show that you are a follower of Christ, that you trust and believe in Jesus. But there is a big difference between wearing our cross and bearing our cross. I think of an illustration that happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. When I got to church and was getting ready for the service, something happened to me that I knew would happen at some point, and Sunday, June 11th, was that Sunday. I was looking for my robe in the sacristy, and it was not there. My white robe was not there. Fortunately, I had my black robe with me. But what I did not have on this robe was the cross that I usually wear. That was still hanging with my white robe back home. So instead of trying to run and make record time back to the house and get back here before church started, I decided just to wear the black robe. But as I walked out, I felt kind of naked, not having that cross around my neck. This is usually what I wear for the church service. Not only did I feel kind of naked without the cross, do you know what kind of robe it is that I wear on a Sunday morning? What style it is? It's actually a Supreme Court style robe. So when I walk out without the cross, I feel like I'm just a judge and not actually a pastor. So it felt kind of strange not carrying or wearing the cross. Isn't that how it should be as Christians? We should feel naked. We should feel strange not wearing or bearing our cross, caring about in our body, in our lives, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not just wearing it, but bearing it. So think of that thought of carrying things with you. And think about what you are going to carry with you as you leave the worship service today. What are you going to carry with you from this sermon? What are we going to carry with us from this worship service, our Bible study today? We will carry Jesus. If we carry Jesus, there's not going to be a need to feel maybe some guilt over the fact that Paul's talking about the suffering that we'll receive for the sake of Christ, and Jesus talks about suffering for being his followers, and we might think to ourselves, I've not received much suffering in my lifetime. Not physically, but maybe emotionally or mentally, psychologically. That's likely the kind of suffering that we're going to face as Christians in our society. But if we carry Jesus about in our words, our actions, in our daily lives, we will not have to feel that guilt or manufacture suffering or persecution, because I'm going to assure you, it will come. It will happen. If we carry Jesus with us, we will share in his suffering and also in his glory. If we carry Jesus with us, we will share him, that treasure that is in us, jars of clay. As Paul says in the last verse of our text, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh, that Jesus may be shown forth in our body. Paul's purpose for suffering for the gospel's sake was that so people, when they looked at him, would not see and pay attention to him, that cracked, crumbling pot, but instead would focus on Christ, on his work in Paul's life and in his work for mankind. If we carry Jesus with us, think also of what we will not be carrying. We will not be carrying our sins, our burdens, our guilt, our shame, or even the fear of death itself. As we leave this amazing place, God's house, with these amazing people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the amazing encouragement we've heard from God's Word, I give you some closing encouragements. Even though you may be heading home to some suffering, maybe you're going home to some troubles, some difficulties, some very heavy things in your life during this week. But we can be encouraged as we leave today because we are leaving with Jesus. He's promised us. He's told us in no uncertain terms, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of this very world. Let me close then with the words of the Apostle Paul from the end of this chapter, words that we read in our scripture reading for today. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, this clay pot, this jar of clay, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Do you have something heavy waiting for you as you go about your week this week? Look what Paul says is the heavy thing in that verse. Not the afflictions. He says the afflictions are light and momentary. What he says is heavy is the eternal weight of glory. He goes on to say, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. May we carry Jesus with us today and always. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with our next hymn, hymn 685.
Thank you.
Please rise. Prayers of the congregation are requested once again for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. She's having thyroid surgery and also some surgery to help correct her lymph nodes. She's having still some problems and difficulties with her health in that regard. Our prayer is that it will not spread and that no further surgery for her is needed. I would also like to request prayers from the congregation because I have an announcement to make. This past week, I was engaged to Jules, and we pray for your prayers and also your support as we look forward to our marriage together. The date and location still to be determined. Any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, your word reminds us that we are clay pots, jars of clay that are cracked and fragile. So we come to you with all of our earthly burdens, for you are the great physician of our body and soul. We place our beloved sister Michelle into your tender care, dear Lord, trusting both your power and your grace to save. We ask that you would give the necessary skills to the surgeon and bless his work. If it be your will, watch at all times that no harm accidentally comes to Michelle. And through the wound the surgeon must make, we ask you to give the blessing of your healing hand. If her confinement should prove to be a trial and a cross, dear Lord, help her bear it. Grant that her apprehensions and discomfort may soon be replaced with joy. In her anxious moments, give her the calm assurance through the word of God, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." May this comfort also be shared by the members of her family who are praying for favorable results from this surgery. In all trials that she must yet face, help her to remember your redeeming love and the sacrifice you made on the cross for sinners, and help her to take refuge there. Hear us for your sake, O Jesus. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you praying that you will bless Julia and myself, as we soon will appear at this altar to speak our vows before you and our fellow Christians. We ask you, Lord, to give us a rich measure of your grace through your Holy Spirit, that we may speak with honor, fully intending with your help to carry out our promises of faithfulness. Strengthen and confirm us throughout our lives with that love that is so strong and true today. Prevent the problems and heartaches that sometimes enter marriage from tarnishing the love or diminishing the respect that we now have for each other. Give us your help that we may faithfully perform our duties as husband and wife. May we not take the success of our marriage for granted, but convince us to pray continually and to work for a happy and lasting union. Help us to fight against a self-seeking attitude that places personal desires, ambitions, and needs above those of our spouse. Draw our hearts to you in faith and love so that we may receive your blessing as we seek the solution to life's problems, the deliverance from life's troubles, and the relief from life's burdens in the prayer of faith. Enable us to humbly recognize our own sins and frailties of character, and lead us to daily approach your throne for forgiveness and for grace to help as we strive to improve. May our fellow Christians place us in your tender care, and bless Jules and myself now and always. We pray this in your name, dear precious Savior, as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn for this morning is found in your
worship folder, we'll sing number 19, In Christ Alone. Be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. Although our guests and visitors are people who are very familiar to this congregation. Some have been here for a very long time, our daughters of this congregation. And one is going to be our teacher next year. Rebecca Lillo is with us today. We welcome her and look forward to you moving here in just a few weeks. After our worship service today, we'll be having our financial meeting for our voters meeting in the fellowship hall after the service. Please join us for that. This week, on Tuesday, our Board of Elders will meet at 6:30, and Church Council will meet at 7. Wednesday, I'll be having Stockton area service at 2 p.m. This time, it will be the Niblett Home in Stockton. And then our 50th Anniversary Planning Committee will have its first meeting at 7 p.m. At the Drew's Home. Next Sunday, our Bible class will be at 8:45. Worship service will be at 10 a.m. And then we'll have a VBS / TVBS meeting at 11 a.m. following the service for anyone interested in helping to plan for our Vacation Bible School. If you would like the Lutheran spokesman, please speak with me today or sign up on the sheet in the entryway that needs to go in this week. I was not here last Sunday, so I was not able to attend the farewell to the Lewandowskis, so I'd like to express my goodbyes to you today and Lord's blessings on your move. Thursday is the moving date. We wish you the Lord's blessings. We thank you for your time here with us and thank the Lord for your service as well. So I will stop talking there before I start choking up. So thank you for all you've done for me while I've been here. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.